You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Have you recovered yet? Has the heart rate come down a little? Mine sure hasn't. I remember first thing I did this morning is I woke up, checked my phone to make sure it was real, and yes, it is real. The Sacramento Kings have the second pick in the 2018 NBA Draft. Yesterday was such a fun day, and I had such a good response from yesterday's podcast. A lot of people like me who are celebrating, excited for the Kings, not technically winning the lottery, but I count it as a win for the Sacramento Kings, who are expected to pick around 7 or 8, and they end up with the number 2 overall pick. You talk about things going good for a franchise that is in desperate need of a successful offseason. I've said it a million times. This offseason, in my mind, is the biggest in franchise history. If you listen to the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHDK, the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings that I, Matt George, happen to work for, you would have heard him say that this offseason carries so much implication for the future of this franchise. If the Kings were to, and I'm going to get the negative out of the way, if they were to get this draft pick wrong and get this summer wrong, it could put the Kings back another 5 years. But I said it yesterday. Good things are coming to this franchise. Yesterday was just a prime example of that. This is the summer that we're going to point back to 2 to 3 years from now and say that's where it all turned around. Because of this summer, the Kings will be in the playoffs in a couple of years. I absolutely guarantee it. My name is Matt George. Welcome in to Locked On Kings. Hope you are all still celebrating a fantastic and fun day yesterday. And what does the draft lottery yesterday mean? Well, we know where we're picking, which means we can dive head first into NBA draft coverage. Finally, you can never really break down where the Sacramento Kings were going to pick and what kind of players they could or should be looking at. I tried to do it earlier with Leo Biaz of Cowbell Kingdom. You can listen to that podcast if you just go back a few episodes. I had a conversation with him, and we threw out some names there depending upon what range the Sacramento Kings would be. But I don't think anybody expected the Kings to be in the top three, let alone the top two. And there are two major names being floated out there, and I'm sure you both or you all know both of those names, and that the Sacramento Kings very likely are going to be taking one of them over the other. It's a great time to be a Sacramento Kings fan, and we are going to be, from now all the way through until the draft next month, it's going to be nonstop NBA draft coverage. We're going to break down every rumor, look at every major prospect, and make sure we do our homework, as we know the Sacramento Kings are going to be doing their homework so they get the best possible pick or outcome. That means the Sacramento Kings could also be considering trading that second overall pick, and we'll explore opportunities and outlets and ways that they may want to do that as well. For those of you that are new, my name is Matt George. I mentioned Sports 1140 KHDK, the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. There, I am a producer, I am an on-air talent, and I am a multimedia journalist. And I had the privilege and pleasure of being on the air with Jason Ross, who's the former host of this podcast, current Lowdown host at KHDK and the program director of Sports 1140 KHDK. And he and I got to be on the air during that fantastic moment when the Sacramento Kings ended up getting making it into the top three. It was the seventh pick, and we saw the Chicago Bulls be pulled. I played that and the majority of our conversation that Jason and I had on KHDK yesterday. I'm not going to do that again today, but I just want to, for those who missed it yesterday, here is once again Jason and my reaction live when the Sacramento Kings found out that they would make it into the top three during the draft lottery.
So here's the moment, guys. Come on. We are hoping the Kings are not the seventh pick. So far, the lottery has played exactly true to form. If the Kings are here, this is their best odds, but we're hoping they're not at 7. And the 7th pick belongs to, oh my
yes!
goodness, the Chicago Bulls!
We're moving up!
The Kings are in the top 3 guaranteed. How about that?
That's what I'm talking about.
How about that? The Sacramento Kings and De'Aaron Fox, with a big smile, they have moved into the top 3.
Twice in a row.
Number 6 is the Orlando Magic. I said make the commercial. I didn't realize it was the second commercial. The Kings are going to be there. They have won the lottery in a sense of the top 3. Number 5 is the Dallas Mavericks. I'm kind of nervous here.
So how does the Chicago Bulls feel right now?
Yep, that was the sweet spot, that extra win that Kings fans were not happy about, true to form. And the number four pick is the Memphis Grizzlies. That means the Phoenix Suns, the Dallas Mavericks. No, excuse me, Dallas is gone. Who is it?
They're fifth.
Oh, the Atlanta Hawks, the Phoenix Suns, and the Sacramento Kings have the chance to win the NBA lottery. They will be 3-2 or 1.
Let's go! Still gives me chills just thinking about it. So what are we doing today? Well, we're going to start our coverage and continue garnering your reactions with a friend of mine who we've had here on the podcast before. His name is Tim Maxwell. He is from Sacktown Royalty, which is one of the top blogs that covers the Sacramento Kings. Sacktown Royalty does a phenomenal job bridging the gap between this franchise and the fan base in a very professional and fun manner. He's going to be joining me here in just a second. We're going to have a conversation about his reactions to the draft lottery yesterday, and then we'll immediately start the conversation. Tim Maxwell is a draft guru. He loves breaking down talent. He loves looking at all the options. He also loves the trade market. He's a wizard when it comes to the financial situation. So if he has any idea of options that the Sacramento Kings have, or I should say if anyone has any ideas of the options that the Sacramento Kings have, it's going to be him. So let's not waste any more time. Let's jump right into that conversation with Tim Maxwell of Sacktown Royalty. Always good to talk to my friend Tim Maxwell from Sacktown Royalty. I said a little bit earlier, if you want a good, solid blog that I consider it to have the best fingers on the pulse of the Sacramento Kings fan base, I say it's the best bridge between a franchise and a fan base that you could possibly have. That is the Sacktown Royalty blog, and a lot of that is because of the work of this man. I don't know if you would consider yourself, Tim, to be a draft guru or a trade specialist or a financial guy. You seem to be able to put all those check marks on your resume, but always good to talk to you, man, especially the day after the phenomenal day that we had yesterday on the NBA draft lottery.
Yeah, thanks, Matt, for having me on so much. I don't know about draft expert. I definitely follow the draft, have a lot of input, and I certainly have a lot of opinions.
Well, that's good. That's what we want here right on the Locked On Kings podcast, and it's always a pleasure to have you on. Definitely a friend of the podcast, friend of the show, a friend of Sports 1140 KHDK as well. And we were on the air, myself and Jason Ross, on Sports 1140 KHDK yesterday, and we were sitting there. And Tim, this year more than any other year, I know the implications of this offseason. I've on this platform and on KHDK said that I believe this is one of the biggest, if not the biggest offseason in the history of the Kings. Massive implications. They can either take massive steps forward or set themselves way far back to square one based off of how this offseason goes. But I was super nervous going into yesterday, especially when we got from 10 to 8 and to 7 as we saw the cards being pulled, especially around pick 8. Jason and I were both begging to see the Cleveland Cavaliers there. They show up. Ultimately, that pit in my stomach really hurt, and I know a lot of Sacramento Kings fans were suffering from it. Did you feel the same way going into this draft lottery?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the, I think it's 23 years that the Kings have been in the modern day draft lottery, they had only moved up twice prior to last night. So for me, I fully expected us to stay either at 7 or probably move back to 8. That's happened quite a bit to us in our history. So for me, when that card showed Chicago at 7, I mean, I screamed, I jumped up and down for joy. I couldn't believe the luck that 2 years in a row the Kings had jumped 5 spots.
Yeah, and it was awesome to see that glimpse of red, too. When they pulled out the card and you just saw red, I was immediately looking for purple or silver to just ease my passing. And I see the tip of the red and then the horn, and it was elation and celebration from that point on. That's one of the things that I love about the lottery system. I mean, say what you want about conspiracies or leaving it all up to ping pong balls or rewards and rewarding teams that don't deserve it, tanking, things of that nature. There are a lot of flaws with any system, but moments like what we got yesterday are what make the draft lottery so much fun and must-watch television. Hopefully, Tim, we know the Sacramento Kings, as of right now, don't have a first-round pick for next year. Hopefully, this is the last time we have to cross our fingers, hope, and beg on the situation going this good for the Kings in the lottery. We would like to see them out of the lottery now for all of the right reasons.
Absolutely. I mean, that's going to give us basically 2 years to get out of the lottery into the playoffs. If we had gotten that number 7 pick, that would have been an unrealistic conversation, in my opinion. But you jump from number 7 to number 2, you might have a potential superstar, a franchise player, a cornerstone in your back pocket after this draft. And I think those chances increased pretty dramatically for our team.
So, Tim, initially, when we looked at the 7 range, we were thinking a complementary player, right? A young guy that we could bring in that would maybe fit well with the young core of a De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, and Bogdan Bogdanovic. Now, like you said, moving up to the top 2, you're looking at a guy that you're going to bring in, and I don't want to say replace De'Aaron Fox as that new star, but certainly at that spot, you're looking for someone to build around completely as your foundation, or make him a major piece of the foundation that you're trying to build right now. That being said, there are 2 major names being floated around that are going to potentially be available at that spot in both Ayton and Luka Doncic. That's DeAndre Ayton from Arizona and Luka Doncic from overseas. Out of those 2 guys, does one jump off the page for you, or are you ultimately ecstatic with either of them?
In the end, I'm ecstatic with either one. I kind of switch back and forth. I think for me, with the modern NBA, you watch the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors play each other, and just a plethora of wings that are all over the floor. In the absence of a traditional big man, my opinion sways slightly towards Luka. I think he's a little bit of a tougher fit on the team. Whether or not he can play a true small forward is maybe a slight concern moving forward. But he's my pick initially if I could choose one. But if we end up with DeAndre Ayton, by far the best big man in the draft and one of the best big men prospects coming out in the last few years, I mean, like you said, you're still going to be ecstatic.
Yeah, and we don't want to draft for need necessarily. That's one avenue that you can take, although most experts tend to just say, you know, pick the best player available at your spot. We certainly will have a lot of talent available at number 2. DeAndre Ayton is interesting because you don't necessarily need a center right now, but certainly he has all that that potential and ability that naturally he can bring. But there is the concern that, you know, the game has gone a little bit away from being a big man's game. Where do you fall on that spectrum? Is there any concern with that taking DeAndre Ayton early on? Does that give Luka Doncic a little more of the edge for you?
Yeah, I think so. The concern over the modern day big man doesn't give me enough concern to not pick Ayton at 2 if Luka goes 1. So that doesn't really swing me that far. But yeah, I think that gives a little bit of the edge to Luka. I think also just the fact that Luka has played professionally. I know it's in Europe, but he still played professionally for quite a long while. And the fact that you could pair him with Fox and Buddy or Bogey pretty seamlessly really sells it for me. Like you said, we have Willie Cauley-Stein. He's a solid player. He's certainly not a star player, so I wouldn't be afraid to replace Cauley-Stein or to move him to the bench for Ayton. But Luka's fit, as well as his tendency towards the modern-day game, gives him a slight edge for me.
Is there any concern that Bogdan Bogdanovic and Luka Doncic, if the Kings ended up getting Luka, is there any concern that they're too much of the same player that would potentially butt heads or not fit very well in the same system? Is there any concern with you looking at that?
Not particularly. They're both secondary ball handlers. They can both shoot from deep, although Bogey's a little bit of a better shooter. One of Luka's greatest strengths is he's a solid rebounder for a guard, in fact, an above-average rebounder for a guard, and he gets the ball and he goes, and he just pushes in transition as soon as he gets that defensive rebound. So I can imagine a scenario, Luka gets the ball and pushes, Bogey's going to the corner, Fox is driving down the middle, trying to open up the lanes that way. So for me, not particularly. Luka is reported to be 6'8" tall. Bogey's probably more around 6'5". So I think Luka can fill into that small forward slot, which would actually benefit Bogey because he's more of a natural shooting guard who we had to slide to small forward this past year.
So you brought up with DeAndre Ayton and Luka Doncic, you brought up the benefit of Luka playing professionally overseas. Yes, it's not the NBA, but it still is professional basketball, and he's playing against guys that are of the same age and body type that you will see in the NBA. But going back to his competition there, would you be surprised at all with the Sacramento Kings going away from Luka and going in the direction of an Ayton? Does that necessarily mean that they're going more for a longer-term rebuild? Because to me, looking at Ayton, he seems to me he's going to need a little more time to develop, absolutely has to put some pounds on. He's not going to be necessarily the guy to come in right away that can have as much of an immediate impact as Luka Doncic can have. Am I off base there?
I think we'll see. It's always hard to predict what a player is going to do once they enter the NBA. A lot of guys talk about it's all about that work ethic and who has the drive, because all of these guys are supremely talented, but how many of them want to take the time to put in the work to become even better? So I think both are relatively NBA ready. Luka might suffer a little bit, like Bogey did this year, from a little bit of just plain exhaustion, because he'll have basically played basketball for a full year because of the schedule of EuroLeague versus the NBA. So he may come in a little tired. I don't think there's any concern either way with either one when it comes to their NBA readiness. I think they would both come in and increase the win column for this team.
So DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic, is it really as simple as one of those two if you are going to draft a player, or are there other names that potentially you could see slipping into the fold for the top two picks?
Personally, I think you stick with what's simple. I think this is a two-player draft. When you go into that 3 to maybe 7 or even 8 range, you've got a good group of guys, really solid players, a couple with potential stardom in their future, maybe if they really max out their ceilings. But we've always talked about this draft as a two-player draft, and I think that's there's a reason for that. So personally, I would not trade back. I would not trade the pick. I frankly don't care about like a 2019 first-rounder coming back. The Kings need top-end talent, and either Ayton or Luka is going to offer them the best chance at top-end talent, kind of like what we discussed before, that number one option for the team going forward.
You know, this is such a power position for Vlade to be in, and with great power comes great responsibility. Someone important said that at some point in time in history. But Vlade really has a lot on his plate now. He has to get this right. There's seemingly more pressure with him at 2 than at 7, but you have to have pressure situations in order to excel and get to the point where you want to be. That being said, I tend to lean away from, you know, a set-in-stone decision right away that you just go all in for. I like the idea that Vlade potentially has options that he can work with. He certainly can have the phone ringing constantly, be picking up the phone and being interested in routes of trades or other moving up, moving down, things of that nature. I certainly don't believe the Kings would have to move up to number one unless they were absolutely enamored with a guy that they were pretty sure Phoenix was going to take, but I don't believe that is going to be the case. You just said that you don't think, Tim, that the Kings should or you wouldn't move away from trading the pick. That being said, do you think it's in Vlade's wheelhouse to potentially be using that pick to look at not necessarily any draft talent, but maybe a guy like a Kawhi Leonard or something like that that's out there that the Kings could try and take off another team?
I think it's important that the Kings take all the phone calls. You work out multiple guys. I think the Kings should try to get a Michael Porter Jr., a Marvin Bagley, a Jaren Jackson Jr., even a Mo Bamba into the arena. Get them in a workout. See if there's something that either their coaches misuse them on or something that was missed throughout the college scouts. I think it's important to do your due diligence. It's important to answer the phone and take those calls and have those conversations. I wouldn't say it's impossible or out of this world that Vlade would trade the pick. Personally, a guy like Kawhi, if he was long-term signed and was healthy, sure, that brings up a whole other conversation. But with his injury history, possibly or probably only 1 year remaining on his deal, that makes him a lot less attractive to me as a candidate. If you trade the number 2 overall pick in a pretty stacked draft for a 1 year rental that leaves for LA or Philadelphia or another team a year later, I mean, that's not only going to cost you your job as Lottie DeVos, that's going to cost your franchise long term. So to put the answer simply, there are very few players. There are some out there. There are very few players that I would trade that number 2 pick for.
If you want a good follow on Twitter, if you are on Twitter or on social media, Tim Maxwell is a phenomenal follow, at TimMaxwell22 on Twitter. And Tim, you tweeted out in kind of a joking fashion, I think it was last night, that you are now prepared to overreact and really react to every single rumor that we hear from here on out until draft day. That being said, we're definitely going to have you back on very soon in order, as we get closer to draft day, to really see how things change, because they seem to change every single day. But ultimately, is there a better situation that the Kings could be in going into this summer?
Honestly, not much of a better situation. I am in the Phoenix market as well, so I'll hear all those Suns rumors. I'll definitely be sharing those and tweeting those out. I'm sure a lot of other people will as well. But for me, the Kings are walking the summer with the number 2 pick. They're walking the summer with max cap space in a cash-strapped market, so there's potential for signing some pretty impressive young players. And then something that I think has been probably overhyped by the Kings, but we do have Harry Giles returning as well. So those are 3 key points of massive increases in talent for this team that weren't necessarily expected to start the year or even back in January or February.
You know, one of the things about the offseason that I love so much, Tim, is that free agency happens after the draft. Can you see what the Kings do with this second overall pick having an effect on what kind of talent that they could potentially bring in free agency? You've mentioned Aaron Gordon and other names out there that you would like to see the Kings. Clint Capella is another one, too, that I know you're very high on. You would like to see the Kings throw high money at that. If the Kings ended up with a Luka Doncic, they could throw max money at Clint Capella, and maybe he might be interested to play along with that young core.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it'll be really important if the Kings are going to be aggressive in free agency, which I fully believe they should be aggressive in free agency, then they need to be early. You know, you mentioned a guy like Clint Capella, who I'm a huge fan of. I think is a perfect modern NBA big. I think you could actually pair with Luka or Ayton, as Ayton's not much of a rim protector, and Ayton's more of an offensive force. Capella's more of a defensive force.
Yeah.
We look at a team like the Houston Rockets, they're going to be waiting on LeBron. So if you can get in there and immediately offer a max offer sheet to Capella, if that's your target, that puts Houston in an awkward situation because we know LeBron takes his time. So for me, it's all about the Kings getting in there, being aggressive, and being early, trying to put another team in an uncomfortable position.
And the Kings announced this really cool thing that they're doing, extending the Summer League a little bit, hosting their own Summer Classic featuring four teams, of course, the Sacramento Kings, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Golden State Warriors, and then the Miami Heat. This is going to be obviously after the NBA draft, but just before Summer League, a good opportunity for Sacramento Kings fans to get to see in person Harry Giles and whoever the Kings decide to pick or whatever they decide to do with this upcoming NBA draft. How cool is that? I know you are in the Phoenix market, so you're not necessarily here, but how cool is that for the Sacramento Kings fan base? And what do you think that does for potential Kings rookies and young players coming in, giving them an extra opportunity to perform on their home floor in front of their home crowd?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. I think it shows that the NBA, on the business side of things, is trusting the Kings to do something that really hasn't been done before. I mean, you had the Orlando and the Utah Summer Leagues, which were canceled, to fully facilitate just the Las Vegas League, and then the Kings were able to do this. I mean, the arena is a huge part of it. And I think hopefully what this means, we've heard quite a few rumors circulating about the Kings wanting to host an all-star game in the future. So I'm hoping this ends up being a test run for that. But for the young players, for the rookies, even for the veterans to come in, we saw last year a lot of our veterans attended Summer League and bonded with those young guys. I think it'll be huge for the team chemistry moving forward.
That is the voice of Tim Maxwell from Sacktown Royalty. Check out his and the rest of his team's fantastic work on SacktownRoyalty.com. Tim, thank you so much for spending the time joining me. We will talk very soon. This draft is going to be fun. These next few weeks leading up to the draft are going to be a lot of fun. I think you and I will both agree that it is sure as heck maybe one of the best times, at least in our recent memory of covering this team, to be a supporter and follower of this franchise.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm all the emotions you can think of. And thanks so much for having me on, Matt.
My thanks again to Tim Maxwell of Sacktown Royalty for joining me. We're going to be talking with him a lot this summer. He and I love to go back and forth and weigh ideas and options, speak in hypotheticals, but realistic hypotheticals. And one thing that I want you to grasp from that entire conversation that I had with him is that the Sacramento Kings have options. And it's not just a, let's make this decision here and now today. It just comes down to this thing and it's set in stone and the Sacramento Kings should not listen or be interested in any other avenue. Vlade Divac is in a power position with the Sacramento Kings this summer, especially now with the number two overall pick. And there are a lot of things that he can do that it would be both good or potentially bad. And it's up to him to make the right decisions. It's up to us to enjoy the ride, analyze what we think would be right and wrong, and ultimately see what the Sacramento Kings decide to do. That's going to do it for me here today. A little programming note for you. I am off tomorrow. Charles T. Hamilton, my co-host of this podcast, he will carry everything from Friday on through next week. And he and I are going to jump on the horn here together very soon to be able to discuss our reactions to the draft lottery and then the draft and everything going forward. So stay tuned for that. I know Charles is excited to share his feelings and where he was on draft lottery day yesterday when he heard the news. So definitely stay tuned for that. Share your opinions with me, with him. You can follow us on Twitter. He is at CTH415. I'm at Matt George KHDK on Twitter. You can also email me your reactions, your thoughts, who you want in the draft, everything at mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Send me those responses. I eat them up, I read them, and I love them. And also, if you could do me a favor as well, why don't you log on to iTunes really quick, even if you don't use it as your music platform. If you go there, you look up the Locked On Kings podcast in the iTunes store. You'll find an area where you can leave a rating and review. That helps us out a lot. Out of 5 stars, give whatever you want. Share a quick little blurb of what you like, don't like about the show, any advice that you have, any improvements that you would like to see. You can share your opinions on there as well. That helps us out a lot here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We certainly would appreciate you doing so. Have yourself a great rest of the week. Wonderful weekend. Let's keep the party going all weekend long. This is going to be a fun summer, and I'm very, very excited that I get to spend it with you. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Matt George. This is the Locked On Kings Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.